Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! One, two, three! One, two, three!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Yeah, yeah, boy, man. Keep hands up to the 1-2.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2. Miami Dolphins lose again. Licking our wounds. They drop to a cool 1-5 on the season. These headlines are brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Volkswagen or DoralVolkswagen.com. 29-27 was your final score yesterday. Yeesh. Larry Zonka, my favorite follow on Twitter. He writes, "Don't know what to say. I keep watching, hoping. I see talent and even some good moments of execution. But we're inconsistent, which boils down to rehearsal. I can hear Coach Shula repeating, quote, we don't practice until we get it right. We practice till we can't get it wrong. Hashtag fins up, dolphin emoji. Hashtag well, LAC versus MIA.
One problem with that is that team was laced with Hall of Famers and with Super Bowl champs, right? So there was a different level of talent on that team. Like, I don't think that it's a situation of guys don't know where to be, right? Like, we see the pass rush. The pass rush got there, right? There were certain times where the pass rush swarmed the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. They swarmed him.
So what play or what getting it until you get it right, what role does that play in it? Just being there and not making a play.
I don't know.
It's not an execution thing. It's a talent thing.
Chai Johnson says, is Zonka Sam Elliott now? That's just his narrator voice. That's how I imagine Zonk sounding. I know we've had him on the show plenty of times, but I always picture him sounding like this, which is also my Zach Sealer. But Zach Sealer doesn't get that voice right now because he doesn't have a sack.
Did the kids still want to see Zach Sealer? They said, nah, we good.
I don't know.
They'd rather Barney.
Hard to say. This tour thing has gotten so crazy. You have former Dolphins practice squatters coming out of the woodwork to tell us to snitch on Tua. A person named Deshaun Hamilton, who apparently was a Dolphin for 17 days, tweets out, this dude, the starting quarterback, was late to the first team meeting during my 3 seconds on the Dolphins. Everything was all cool in there.
Yo, he said he's wait, say that again. He was late for the team's meeting in his 3 seconds that he was there.
I was barely at the Dolphins, and he's like, hey, Tua was late back then.
Hey, this is like Houdini. The freaks come out at night, right? Everybody coming out of the woodworks. Right? Now, I'm going to say this.
We owe people apologies.
It's not amazing that he said that. It's amazing that 3 seconds in the league made him feel like he could say that. Right?
I don't think that was his only place in the league, but it was his only time with the Dolphins.
Yeah, but you know what? He's not saying that. He's not saying that if he was in Kansas City that, Patty was late or in Buffalo if Josh was late.
Maybe they weren't late, though.
even if they were, nobody's going to be calling that guy out.
Right. I think right now, regardless of what's going on with the team and why they're losing, Tua's the low-hanging fruit, as is most quarterbacks. So I'm not just going to say everybody's picking on Tua. That seems to be the way of the land. They did it with Daniel Jones in New York.
Yep.
Right? They didn't go. Wait.
It's Indiana Jones.
Let's think about this and use the Giants as an example. Right? Go ahead. They ain't mentioned that you got rid of a Hall of Fame running back and thus got rid of some of the coverage that your quarterback had.
Well, arrogant.
Which is a lot of quarterbacks have that coverage.
They arrogantly right? got rid of a Hall of Fame running
right.
back.
Right.
Did you watch that Saquon doc?
No, but I watched I watched Hard Knocks off season.
If you watch it, it delves really into the situation, and you understand it more from Saquon's side. But in your response about how the Giants, how they handled the situation, the way the Giants made it seem like it was either one or the other. They couldn't do both. It was either going to have to be the quarterback or they couldn't pay the running back. That type of
not only giving him $40 million. That means you saved $10 million somewhere.
Schmeathen says you can't be 27-year-old with a documentary. Enough. There are a lot of documentaries. I didn't even know. Where is Saquon's documentary?
It's on Prime.
Well, Amazon Prime. Did you hear? You know whose stock is sky high right now? Baker Mayfield. Did you see that play that he had yesterday? Fourth down run. God, that was cool.
He just looks like a little bulldog, right?
He's just having a blast.
He may not. It's one of those people. First of all, he has an arm cannon, so let's not sleep on that, right? We can start there. Same thing with Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray has a cannon, so let's not start. But when you see the way he's built, he kind of looks like one of those undersized linebackers.
But that's his whole attitude, Leroy. He plays
right, that's
as
what
he's
I'm
a
saying.
Linebacker. He's a quarterback.
You know who
with a linebacker like mentality?
Harbaugh.
Yeah.
That's exactly how Harbaugh, and that's why Harbaugh's intense now.
Here's the thing, though. It draws the team.
It
draws everyone. Like, think about it, bro. Baker was ripped in Cleveland.
Right.
Colin made it.
Cleveland management.
Right. But even Colin Coward made it was like 2 years he was making.
The players, too, though, because you had Odell's father coming out with montages of missed throws.
And all he did, he just persevered. He just kept on playing. Now he's the number one MVP. He's number one odds right now for MVP in the NFL.
Rightfully so. Did you hear, you want to hear something adorable? Did you see this? You got my buttons up there, no. Vlad? This was Tez Johnson yesterday who caught the touchdown and did the backflip.
Well, it was a great catch, too.
Great catch.
He caught that ball on the back end with his pinky, with his little bitty, the tips of his finger. That's a good catch.
This was him after the game.
I'm going to tell y'all a funny story. This is crazy. When I score and I hit MVP chant, I'm thinking they talking about me. So I asked Shep. I'm like, Shep, they was chanting MVP? And he was like, yeah. I was like, I ain't do nothing this year. And then he was like, they talking about Baker, Tez. And I was like, well, that explains it. But he is the MVP.
That's when you know you are about yourself. Right? That's funny.
I'm giving him a minus one.
And a plus one for telling the story. Right? He get a both.
He gets a minus.
Minus one.
For arrogance.
Everybody wants back on the Baker bandwagon.
Everybody does.
Not only that. You want to hear something crazy?
What?
And of course, this is a slap to our faces, Leroy, and to our fan base. Mm-hmm. The top two MVP candidates. Or the first two quarterbacks from the 2018 draft. Sam Darnold's having an unbelievable year himself.
Yeah.
And Baker. And they were the two quarterbacks selected. Cleveland won. Jets traded up for Sam Darnold at 3.
Doesn't mean that Tua.
But in Vlad, I don't know if I could make my point. Like, I try to make this point, and I don't really think that I make it well enough. And that is, you draft these guys 1 and 2 and 5. It's a consensus throughout the league. The only person that people felt that was a reach was when San Francisco drafted Trey Lance, right? Everybody thought that was because they thought they were going to draft Mac Jones, right? And so everybody thought these were the two best quarterbacks in that draft. They go to their respective teams that draft them or whatever. And then everybody's calling them a bust. But look at the organizations they went to, right? And so now you get some coverage. You got a defense. You got a run game. You can go out there and relax and play, and you balling, right? Same thing with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold went to a quarterback-friendly offense in Minnesota and balled out till he got another opportunity to be a starter, and he kept doing it. Is that mean? No, and then reporters want to say this. He's finally coming into his own. Nah. The dude always had talent. He probably got up from underneath that garbage.
He's fine being coached right.
So you're right. Saying when Tua moves on from Miami and gets away from Jonas Savatanaya, that he's going to have a resurgence?
I was just thinking the same thing.
I don't know that, because here's the other problem that I've always had with Tua, and this is Chris Greer's way of doing things, right? Me personally, if I have a top five pick, I don't care how great the player could be. If he's banged up or injured, I'm going in another direction. Because I just don't want to deal with it. I could maybe get rid of one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever live. That's just me, right? Same thing with what I said when the Browns wanted to get Deshaun Watson. You need a quarterback. You got rid of your quarterback. You know the quarterback that you give $230 million to going to sit out either a season or a number of games. Why are you, a team that needs a quarterback, investing that much money in a quarterback who's not going to play for a year? It makes no sense. If it worked out somewhere else, fine. Just not for us. When you need something that bad, because here's what happened. He was thrust in the plane too soon. He might not have been ready. And now we've been playing the Tua game for the last 4 years.
6 years.
6 years. So, yeah. But so Baker has always been Baker. Baker did some of those things in Cleveland. The problem is you get these guys that come right out of college, you throw them in a starting role, and you want them to be Patrick Mahomes right away.
Yeah, even he made fun of that last week. Like, he talked about, you know, it's like, my attitude hasn't changed. It just went from, you know, smug and arrogant to moxie, you know? Like, it,
right, because he's winning. That's it. That's what we do. That's what we do.
Wallace said the same thing yesterday. He's like, you know, you could be 5-1 and, you know, peacocking, but you still, you know, there's still things you got to work on. So whether you're 5-1 or 1-5, you got to work on things. Right. But
that's why the Tua comments are problematic. It's like, you are aware of what the temperature is of this stuff. Don't
he should be more aware than anybody based on what he went through.
Yeah, don't throw more chum in the water. Like, right. The Dolphins, let's be real about it. The Dolphins shouldn't be a headline today. And it's the number one headline all over the NFL. I have ESPN on here. It's literally been on all day. Correct. And it shouldn't be. They are not worthy of discussion. They suck. There's nothing interesting about them other than people love a dumpster fire. And when Tua says those things, it makes them out to be an even bigger dumpster fire than their record already says they are. And so that's why it's a problem. That's why he needs to know the temperature of those things, and he doesn't. He's just like, here's a match. Take a break. We're back after this.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Keep this team from taking a woe is me mentality like this keeps happening to us situation.
Yeah. Well, I think it starts with the leadership in helping articulate that for the guys. And then what we're expecting out of the guys, right? We're expecting this. Are we getting that? Are we not getting that? We have guys showing up to player-only meetings late. Guys not showing up to player-only meetings. Like, there's a lot that goes into that. Do we have to make this mandatory? Do we not have to make this mandatory? So it's a lot of things of that nature that we got to get cleaned up, and it starts with the little things like that.
Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa throwing his team under the bus after the loss there. It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right. And joining us this morning, like he does on Mondays at 8 o'clock, Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald, who asked the question. And I was trying to figure out, yeah, you know, we just got to close and what he's going to say. And he decided to hit the old leadership and then get into team player only meetings. First of all, Omar, F the player meetings, man. Enough with the player meeting. It's like too deep. How we spent all last year talking about too deep. The players meetings, that's not why they're losing games.
I think people have a misunderstanding about what he's referring to when he's talking about player-only meetings.
Everybody must have misunderstood then in the whole country.
These aren't, oh, we're in a crisis, let's have a player-only meeting where we air out our grievances. This is a weekly meeting between Tua and his receivers and Tua and his offensive linemen about packages and protections and plays and audibles and things like that. He generally holds it on Thursday with his wide receivers. Maybe guys are showing up late for it. Maybe they're too much in the hot tub and strolling in when they feel like it. I don't know specifically what he's talking about, but I think the public has to understand he's not referring to, oh, I call the players only meeting on our day off and the whole team needs to show up and we go over what's going on. The question was specifically about what does leadership need to do to basically stop this bleeding and with woe is me. And he's talking about accountability, which is what you should want your leaders to be talking about. Can you question Tua from a leadership standpoint? Yes, you can question everybody from a leadership standpoint. I thought that they didn't have that much of great leadership coming into this season. But in my opinion, leadership isn't really the reason why they're losing and why they're 1-5 right now. They're just not a good enough team. Not knowing how to finish games. When you talk to this team, you hear the players basically pointing all the fingers of blame on the young players that are playing and contributing. The Jonas Savanias and the Kenneth Grants and the Jordan Phillips and the Dante Trader. And it's real poor timing that Dante Trader, who'd had a pretty decent, quiet rookie season, all of a sudden misses, would have maybe helped seal the game. But it's not just the rookies that aren't showing up. Jalen Phillips also missed a number of sacks. Jalen Phillips might be like on double digit sacks he's missed this season. And you know, Zach Sealer, I mean, let's be real about it. Is Zach Sealer having a Zach Sealer type season? Now would it be beneficial for him to have a defensive lineman that he can work with in tandem, another athletic guy that he can do twists and stunts with? Absolutely. But that's not what he's been given. So, you know, and the right side of the offensive line, it is what it is, man. Hopefully they're coming back. James Daniels and Austin Jackson, hopefully they're coming back at some point by November. But by then, wow, Season will probably be over.
Yeah. So let me get back to this. So the only problem I have as a former player.
Yeah.
I don't want my quarterback up there throwing anybody on the team under the bus. You got a problem, you go to those individuals. If it's Waddle, yeah, and I'm just throwing out names, I don't know, I'm not accusing them of being the guys, but if it's Waddle, all of a sudden it's a little salty, or if it's Jalen, he looks like he's in the doghouse right now. Our third running back. So if it's any of those guys, man, go talk to them. You're the quarterback. Yeah. Go talk to them. There's no reason. And I get your question. I get it. Like, how do we close out these games, man? Like, I get it. We've had some chances. You just figure odds. You get a couple of these games, especially that one yesterday. Oh, good God. That was a brand new way to lose. But anyway, I don't think you just don't do that. You don't do that, man. And
I can hear you, Joe.
I don't know. Now, listen, man, maybe he said something to you guys later. I didn't mean it that way. It came out wrong. I don't think he was taking, when he said leadership, he was somewhat taking shots at Mike. Yeah. And Mike came out and went, hey, guys are good with me. They're on time. Don't get that on Mr. Ross's list. No, they're here.
That's funny, Joe. But yeah, it's, you know, we are officially at the finger pointing stage of this.
Yes, we are.
Let's not be naive in terms of, like, we've been on this dance before. We've been on this mediocrity merry-go-round for 2 decades, Joe. You know, we have reached the finger pointing stage.
Yes, we have.
Now, is Tua the first person to point fingers? Yeah, he is. I hear where you're coming from, but I'm asking for accountability, and I have critically said these leaders aren't going to be good enough, and everybody knows what I talk about, so I can't hide from none of that stuff.
Omar, we got 26 coaches, 27 coaches, damn near one coach per two players.
We're trying to, huh?
I said we've got 26 coaches. We got assistant. We got assistant to assistant. We got two. Yeah. We got two players and a coach for every two players. Those guys need to coach them up, coach their mistakes, tell them what we need to do to win games. Some they've been around. It's a pretty good coaching staff. I just think we're putting too much on who should be the leader. And
yeah, no, because you have to have lead. The coaches aren't going to help you when you're on the field. So I disagree with you from that standpoint, Joe. But Here's my thing, and this is something that I've been asking a lot of players about, past and present players. Who taught you how to study film? Who taught you how to prepare for a game outside of your coaches? Because most guys will tell me that it's another player. It's your coaches can't really – they can direct you. Some people, their coaches taught them how to study.
By the way, that is true. We had a nice built-in with like Nat Moore was a professor. He was fantastic with us. Bruce Hardy was always willing to help when he was a couple years ahead of me. You're right. There was always guys there. And I also had a really good coach at the time, a guy named Dan Henning that I was a big fan of.
Oh, Dan. Yeah. Love Dan.
Love Dan Henning. So
listen, and to me, that's what's the issue and what's going on right now in my mind, especially with the young players. There's nobody out there coaching them, teaching them how to study film. And then we're now on week six where they're continuously making the same mistakes and having the same issues. And that's not acceptable. That's problematic. And the problem is there is nobody fixing the problem. Nobody's addressing it. And I you know, these young players, they're not going to get better until somebody teaches them what they don't know.
What the defense obviously struggling, and you've been on this, and I've been fighting with Woody all morning. You're exactly right. The biggest problem we have is defense. It's not lefty throwing the court. But what the hell happened in the third quarter where they come out and got just – it was one of the worst third quarters I've ever seen our team have. That was like both sides. It was – how do you come out after a break with a few-point lead and play like that? I know they came back in the fourth and took the lead, but how did that happen?
I think there are lulls that happen, and if we're probably gonna, and it's interesting that you say that because I got to look up statistically what the defense does, what the offense does in the third quarter. But there are lulls that happen, and this team is not. They're not performing well in the third quarter. Maybe it's the adjustments that opposing teams are making.
Right. That is part of it. That's part of it right there. Yeah.
Yeah. I can honestly tell you, I don't necessarily know what the recipe or the answer is for when the offense just falls asleep. And it's happened in a couple of games. It hasn't happened in all the games, but it definitely has happened in a couple of games.
So let me ask you, because I'm getting this. I got it after the game. I walked to the parking lot. I don't know if you have people waiting for you and know where you park every week, but they were out. They were all out, man. White, black, young, a little older. They were all out there last night. And they want to know, hey, man, what's Mr. Ross? What's going on with Mr. Ross? Well, is this just because he's making money? No, and I was like, nah, he wants to win. I know. I see that look on his face still. But what's going to happen? We just going to finish this out and maybe beat Cleveland? What happens now?
To me, Cleveland is at the starting point of a loss to Cleveland is when I possibly think that we could see somebody relieved of their duties. I've said this consistently, and I stand on this. You fire somebody, is it going to make the problem better right now? And I don't know if we want to make the problem better. I don't know exactly what we're intending to do right now outside of this team having to win, I believe, at least 8 of their last 11 games to produce a winning record. If they can't do that, then we know what time it is because that's the status quo. And that's not even playoffs. Winning 8 of 10 or 9 of – I mean, winning 8 of 11 or 9 of 11 to make the playoffs, come on, that's unrealistic. But
let me say this. The only thing I'm saying to you is, Omar, you have to send something to your team, to your fan base, because your fan base thinks that you don't care.
That's delusion. You have to give a body to your fan base. You have to make a sacrifice to your fan base.
Penn State did it yesterday.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because that's true. And $49 million later. Okay. What did they achieve? Are the problems going to get better? Or are they going to sell more season tickets? Nobody's renewing any season tickets, whether they fire somebody or not right now.
No. You're right. But can you imagine? Like, how would you like to be working in the sales department for the Miami Dolphins? Going, it's time to renew your tickets.
Yeah,
and they're hanging up and they're screaming at these kids and they've got tears in their eyes. Nobody's ever talked to me like that. They told me
to know the renewal date. I need to know the renewal date because they might want to delay that thing. Just push it back a little bit because you're going to get a hell of a lot of no's. And It's got to get to the point of Steve Ross being embarrassed for him to do anything to make changes. Once he's embarrassed, he will act.
Yeah, but Mr. And Ross is successful at everything. Like I went through this with Wayne Huizenga. Like he's been successful at everything he does. He's worth billions and billions of dollars, and he's known and like now he owns this team that. People know him more for that than the development that he – and he's one of the largest developers in the world.
Yes.
And it's like
– I remember one time I had a conversation with him about his failures way, way, way back, way, way, way back. Like we're talking failures like 2012.
Yeah.
And he basically said, yeah, man, I've been successful in everything I've ever done except for this. And the problem is I can't throw money at this.
Yeah.
I can't just – Hire one guy to build it, run the project. Nope. And
that's what Mr. H said, the same thing. Mr. Huizenga and Stephen Ross had a lot in common because I had a long talk with Mr. Huizenga one day. And it was right after Humpty Dumpty at Alabama had left town.
You still bitter about that, Joe?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I think he's really good on the team. I love him on game day. I do.
Yeah.
I think he's really good. Really good.
Yeah.
Still got to bust his balls a little bit, though. Anyway.
And the funny thing is, Joe, I remember him saying, if I could go get Tom Brady, I would. And then the man tried to go get Tom Brady twice.
Yeah.
And still fell short.
Yeah.
The problem I see with this situation is I can't name you anybody that I want to give czar power to and feel confident that they're going to change the franchise and get it headed in the right direction. Now, do I feel like they need a scorched earth cleanse? They absolutely do. That's the only thing that I've never seen get done around here.
Yeah. Hey,
I've never seen them clean house and just start over.
So, and by the way, I agree with you. And they're going to have to. I mean, you can't do a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit everywhere. You can't do that. But I want to ask you, who are you most disappointed with, veteran players wise? That's just not playing well right now. I thought our pass rush was going to chew them up yesterday. Yeah. Even the bad backups were injured yesterday. I mean, I got nothing against Bobby Hart, and I know his father listens to the show sometimes, and I'm not taking a shot at him. He's St. Thomas Aquinas kid. But he hadn't played in a couple years. He starts at tackle. I just thought we'd chew these guys up. I mean, they got some good pass rush, but just one sack.
Yeah. Got rid of the
ball quickly. Line, I don't know.
The defensive line was supposed to set the table for the entire team. They've done a poor job of doing that. I don't want to blame it all on the rookies, but when you can't stop the run, you have no ability to pass rush. And then you can't necessarily get turnovers. The list is a lot shorter about guys who've actually played well early this season. Yeah. Devon Achane, Rasul Douglas, Patrick Paul, Aaron Brewer. Other than that, everybody else falls into my "you've fallen short of expectations" list.
Yeah. All right, man. I don't know, man. I just this is very frustrating to. I know you cover it and look at it and. You have to deal with it every day. Anyway, thanks, man. I appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate you.
Thanks. Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald. Recovery Unplugged. I might be checking in today, Dr. Barry.
All right, 3 o'clock hour on what feels like a wacky day, but it was like what I said at 2 o'clock. They just can't have a normal loss. This is just... This really should have been your normal everyday collapse at the end. And you end up losing to a team that was supposed to be better than you anyway. By the way, Aronde Gadsden, our friend, his son, Aronde Gadsden II, terrible first possession, caught a pass, fumbled it, led directly to a Dolphins touchdown. But then he bounced back.
Seven for 68.
He had 68 yards. I think he had what? Eight receptions.
Yeah.
I had texted OG after the game and I said something along the lines of good to get the fumble out of the way early. He came back, had a game. He said, so proud of how he got refocused and did his thing.
Yeah.
So Aronde Gadsden II ended up having a good game after a terrible, and you know he felt terrible because there were so many friends and family in the stands watching him there. And that fumble, terrible fumble, and led directly to Dolphins points. So you know that he was probably feeling terrible, but he bounced back, had a great game. So yeah. Aronde Gadsden.
And I think they schematically put him in those flat routes because he was at home. They have a bunch of good tight ends. But, yeah, they did that for OG, which is great. You know, I'm not a big Jim Harbaugh fan, but that was cool for him to do that.
When you're getting that many catches and you've got Ladd McConkey and Keenan Allen on the team, like, you're in the NFL. When you're getting that many targets, you're in the NFL.
Those little flat routes could have been ran by anybody on that team, but they did it for OG because, like you're saying, they could have done it for the other tight ends. But he was he's an NFL tight end. He's big as hell. He looks comfortable. To your point, he looks like an NFL player, and I think he's going to be hell when he gets the. You think about it. What's that? His sixth game at the highest level of football.
And the first two where he was inactive.
Yeah, so fourth game at the highest level of football. He's going to be hell here coming up in the next couple of years.
Here are your headlines with Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Volkswagen, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit them at Doral Volkswagen or DoralVolkswagen.com.
This was something I discussed, and I just wanted to run it by you guys with Tobin yesterday on Game Day Uncensored, and I think even more so now, it rings truer to me. Hawk, in the offseason, Jalen Ramsey wants out, and Jalen Ramsey clearly is asking out from the Dolphins. And you said something that I still remember where you said, what did he know or what does he know about this team? What does he know about McDaniel? What does he know about this team? Lack of leadership. And I hate to admit it, but guys, Jalen Ramsey was right. Jalen Ramsey from the very beginning coming into this season knew that this team is fractured from within. Organization top to bottom is fractured from within. Lack of leadership. And he wanted out. That guy was right.
Yeah. And you got to see some of them guys, like he came from McVay's Rams that won a Super Bowl. Like Tua doesn't know what it looks like. To Tua's defense, he doesn't know what top NFL organizations look like because he walked into Flores, which he walked into a bumble bleep, and then he got into another bumble bleep, and he just doesn't know what that looks like. Ramsey's seen it. He's seen the chef cooking it up in the back and knows what that dish looks like. And he said, you know what? Yeah, this is going to come out the kitchen looking too good. And he was correct. We talked to him up in Pittsburgh, and it was kind of what he's saying. Like, not breaking any news because he said it on, you know, on the podcast. He said to other people, he's like, no, I'm on the back end of my career, and I wanted to go somewhere and try to win a Super Bowl. And he didn't see it being here.
Because remember, though, he had no say in where he ended up.
Right.
He just wanted out of here.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like they owed him, you know, he was a guy who'd played for the organization for 12 years, and you were going to give him you know, the path to wherever he wanted to be. Like, he just wanted out of here. And you look at what's gone on through six games and you go, oh, I get it.
And then Minka was here, asked to leave, got sent right back, and now on a 1-5 team. I know Minka's fire hot.
Fire hot.
Come on.
he's like sort of here, though. You know, it's, like, he's here, but is he really here?
It's kind of like those cartoons when the guy digs out of jail, jumps in the bottom of a truck. The truck rides him around a circle, takes him right back to jail. Free!
Can I interest you in a Mike McDaniel note from today's press conference that doesn't revolve around the Tua inflammatory remarks?
Yes.
Sure.
He says there won't be any players returning from injured reserve this week. So that includes James Daniels. That includes Liam Eichenberg. That includes Austin Jackson. And that includes Jason Sanders. So that is kind of a big deal. There's no reinforcements coming anytime soon.
I didn't want to bring it up, but your guy Riley Patterson blew the game. If he hits that 57-yarder, which is a chip shot for good field goal kickers the league, they win the game.
Right.
Yeah, it is. 57 good field goal kickers above average. The average guys do exactly what he's been doing this season. And in fact, I'll give you something here. This is interesting. We can couch this under 15 minutes of game day uncensored. Brought to you by the Lexus TX. Room for all your passions and three rows of luxurious comfort. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. From DolphinsTalk.com, they did stock up, stock down. Pretty easy, but Mike McDaniel is one of the stock down. But what they write is, Riley Patterson has been good. But when you have a lead in the second quarter at home, I'm not sure you should have your backup kicker try a 57-yard field goal. He misses it. The Chargers get the ball at midfield and have the lead moments later. There's being aggressive and there's being silly. This was a ridiculous decision. And the guys at Dolphins Talk are correct there. What happened was Mike McDaniel started looking at Riley Patterson the way Solana has, which is he's doing everything perfectly that a very average kicker can do. And so he forgot that he was a very average kicker and said, oh, I'll have him go out here and make a 57-yarder. We all knew before the season started. I remember looking at his numbers. There was no chance in hell he was going to hit a 57-yard field goal. He didn't. And the Dolphins didn't have the lead moments later.
I don't know about no chance in hell.
Don't argue this.
He wasn't no chance in hell. This guy was 100% on the season.
He was 100% from 40 and 30.
Yeah.
He hit a 47-yarder yesterday.
And that's 10 more yards, 47 and 57.
That's another 30 feet. That's an average kicker. Average kickers can make those with no problem. He's good. He should be on an NFL team. But to suggest, which is what you suggested before the season, that he's as good as Jason Sanders is folly, because Sanders would have nailed that.
My point from the beginning, and I don't want to rehash it, my point from the beginning was that you won't feel a massive drop-off between Jason Sanders and whoever the Dolphins sign, who ended up being Riley Patterson, who was outstanding until yesterday, and even yesterday went 2 of 3, hit 2 field goals. And by the way, you guys argued that losing Jason Sanders was bigger than losing a tackle.
No.
How's that working out for you?
Specifically.
How's that working out for you?
Specifically, Patrick Paul.
The only good player on the Dolphins offensive line. Losing your right tackle.
Specifically,
and losing
you feel,
your guard.
Yeah. You're telling me that you don't think Patrick Paul, after one season, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this argument again. The fact that Riley Patterson kicked that 57-yarder instead of Jason Sanders yesterday cost them the game.
So Jason Sanders yesterday.
Sanders hit that 57.
Jason Sanders, if he's on the team yesterday, the Dolphins win that game is what you're saying?
100%.
I can't say that. I would say the game would play out differently because the numbers would be different and more chances would have to be taken than they were by the Chargers. It would have played out totally differently if there was 3 more points on the board.
Okay, so it's not, you know, the Dolphins offense looking absolutely anemic coming out in the second half until the very end of the game.
They're up by 4, 5, 6. You don't need to just kick a field goal at the end there.
It's not Jalen Phillips not knowing how to bring a guy down when he has all of his body weight on him. It's not the Dolphins secondary not being able to tackle a guy in the open field.
Even if Trader tackles him there, they've still got to get in the end zone if Jason Sanders has kicked that field goal.
Solana, there's a lot at fault. And Jason Sanders not being able to hit a 57-yarder is a fault part.
Well, Sanders would hit it.
Riley Patterson, Jalen Phillips, Trader. We know who messed up yesterday. Riley Patterson's in that bunch.
It's not Malik Washington not knowing to stay inbounds.
They're all in it. All in the same bus.
It's not special teams. It's not the special teams letting the return get to the 40-yard line.
I didn't want to go down this path.
All on the same bus. And Riley Patterson's on that bus.
There's myriad reasons for the loss. And I don't want to blame it on Riley Patterson because he really has had a very good season.
So just say I was right. That's all you have to do. And
you weren't. You literally were proven wrong yesterday.
I don't think I was. I think I was proven right because through five weeks, Riley Patterson was not a topic of discussion, which was
my
point.
But what has he done that shows you he's anything better than an average kicker?
Nothing.
Jason Sanders has shown you he's a much better than average kicker.
It's fine. You guys take the L. It's fine.
Stock up, stock down.
Wow. They literally lost yesterday, and your guy missed a field goal.
Elsewhere in the NFL, the Titans have fired Brian Callahan. That's the first head coach fired. Listen to this stat that I just read. Brian Callahan was 4-19 against the spread as the Titans head coach. That's the worst against the spread mark by a head coach in the Super Bowl era with a minimum of 5 games, according to ESPN.
Yeah, that gets you fired.
I mean, he's got a terrible team, and he's probably playing a quarterback sooner than he'd like to be playing him, but you put up those kind of numbers and results, James Franklin can tell you. Mm-hmm. Put up those kind of the only person who's immune to it is Mike McDaniel.
It's crazy. No, because what happened is he came out hot. He is living off of 2023.
I'm just gonna run through some local headlines. The Panthers are 3-0. Deserve some love.
Yes, they do.
Thank God for the Florida Panthers.
Oh.
Amen. God.
And
Miami Hurricanes. They play Friday against Louisville. Should we talk about your Florida Gators? You let me know. I'm ready to go.
No.
A lot of college football. A lot of college football stuff.
Hey, man. Napier and McDaniel should get together and go run a very strong D3 program somewhere. North Texas might need someone. They need to make calls.
The Panthers play the Flyers tonight. It's the
James
first
Franklin.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Keep this team from taking a woe is me mentality like this keeps happening to us situation.
Yeah. Well, I think it starts with the leadership in helping articulate that for the guys. And then what we're expecting out of the guys, right? We're expecting this. Are we getting that? Are we not getting that? We have guys showing up to player-only meetings late. Guys not showing up to player-only meetings. Like, there's a lot that goes into that.
Kind of generic, right? It wasn't, hey, man, we got to figure this thing out. We, you know, got to keep working at practice. You don't throw guys under the bus. I know he didn't say any names, but you stay away from that. That can be interpreted so many different ways. I know our local media guys that cover this that were offended by it, but people around the country are seeing this going, what is Tua doing? Why are you bringing that up? Some people think he's throwing his coach under the bus, talking about leadership. Some people think, what are you doing? And then, by the way, some other guys, former players, going, hey, dude, it makes you look bad. You're the quarterback. And going, hey, guys, we're going to stay late. I want to meet with our guys. There's some things we want to work on that I need some help with you guys for. And guys don't show up. They don't respect you very much, man. They're not showing up. Oh, no, it's not my team. It's not in my player, in my quarterback meeting or receiver. It's where? Where is it? Offensive lineman. Everybody knows those guys. The silent assassins, they show up for everything, man. That's true. You don't worry about offensive linemen. They're there. They want to get better. That's a different breed of guys, those guys. So I'm not sure when he decided to do that and say those things. I just think he didn't look great in the whole situation either. Some people are going to look at his numbers yesterday and go, I didn't see anything fancy there. Now, looked like he had the winning touchdown. As bad as the third quarter was, by the way, it was bad. That third quarter was a disaster. Coming out, you always wonder, man, you come out, you just got new, you got fresh ideas from your coordinators and some things, some adjustments you're going to make on both sides. Apparently the Chargers, only team that made adjustments coming out at halftime. 155 yards to minus 11 for the Dolphins. So anyway, fourth quarter, they get it back. Tua gets a couple of nice drives together. Needs to down 13. He's able to score two touchdowns. And then, you know, again, 30-something seconds left. Kickoff return, 41 yards. You saw it look like Justin Herbert was going to be sacked once or twice, and he wasn't. Throws it out to McConkey. He catch and runs 42 yards, and that kicker is about the most automatic thing in football. If you didn't know about Dicker the kicker, I love saying that. Dicker the kicker, Cameron Dicker, is perfect. 5 for 5 yesterday, 9 for 9 going into that game. Matter of fact, 58 yards. Now we're going to take the penalty. So he didn't get a chance to keep his 58-yarder, but kicked a closer one anyway a little bit later on, chewed up some time. So
isn't it all part of a bigger problem, though? Like, win, lose, yesterday, whatever. It's just part of a bigger problem, and this goes back to the stuff that we spent the entire offseason talking about, and the fact that this is coming up now, you know, what, 6 weeks into the season?
Which part's coming up?
This whole culture and meetings and late and all this stuff. Yeah, I was sick of it during the offseason. And they kept saying how, oh, everything's great now. Everyone's changed.
Tua bringing it up, there's going to be people that think that he was talking about Mike's meetings and Mike. I mean, Mike.
I don't care what he's talking about. He starts it off by saying leadership. And it's like, dude, you're the quarterback.
Well, you say leadership, I think head coach. I'm sorry.
I know, too, but the quarterback's got to be somewhat responsible, too, man.
He is the franchise quarterback,
and for him to get up there and throw the, you know, it just goes back to what we had all offseason and why this is not the right group. I don't care who it is, Joe, Chris, Mike, Tua. It's just, it doesn't work.
Okay. So, you're right. You're absolutely right. I am not disagreeing with you at all, but I want to say this thing about this kind of plays off. Well, we have a winning record and like, that's good enough. Well, we got the playoffs and lost in the first round of the playoffs again, 25 years worth. It's like, no, that's not what the franchise is about. So when you say, well, you know, we got to figure this out because we've had a chance in 5 of 6 games to win on a last drive late with just a few minutes left. We've had a chance. Like, okay, that's true, but you didn't win them. You didn't win them again and again and again, and you did things that losing teams do to get there. Now, and I'm not blaming this all on Tua except for the dumbass stuff that he says after games and his press conference. I tell you what, the media ought to just like, can't win. What day's Tua talking? Oh, we're going to make sure we're there. What's he going to say this time? Maybe he'll take another shot at our fans that go out and can't play quarterback and eating all those chips. I saw a few heavy people yesterday at the game that might be eating some extra chips at the game. I tell you another one, man. At some point, somebody at the top of that organization needs to come out and say, hey, man, to our fans, Mike didn't do it. We apologize for what you're watching. We got to be better. This is not acceptable, especially for those fans that go or have gone in the past that are a little turned off in recent years. You can't just throw the NFL card at them. You just can't go, it's the NFL. We're the most popular game. I get it. Well, I wish Mr. Ross would come out and say something. I'm tired of...
What else could he say, though, Joe? Outside of making a move, which...
He got to say...
I mean, at this point, if you don't make the move, these guys just last the rest of
the But here's my problem. We haven't heard Stephen Ross say anything. It's all second NFL networks reporting that Mr. Ross is frustrated and he's going to be patient on this thing. What's that mean? Two more losses late. Cleveland scores on a last second field goal. Hey, maybe we beat Cleveland. By the way, here we go again.
What would you do today if you were Mr. Ross? What would be your move today?
I think I'd send a message. I'd send a message right from the top. Top.
And say what though? What that hasn't already been said. Like that's the thing. Like you'd have to do something to prove you mean business at this point, right?
I don't know how much long. Like the boo birds were out there pretty hard yesterday, man. That was the first time that...
It's also time to embrace the fact that you are one of, if not the worst team in football.
Well, you're not the worst team.
The Jets have you beat on that one right now, yes. But you're going to get them later in the season, Joe. You'll get them again.
The Jets yesterday. Got a chance to watch some of that. 13-11 loss, 82 total yards. Justin Fields completed 9 passes and he had 9 sacks. You may never see that again. You may never see that number again. They were really, really bad. And I hear everybody, Aaron Glenn, he's got to go through this. Dan Campbell did, and then he'll get it flipped around. And I'm like, man, he's got a lot of good players on that team. What happened? By the way, the other part is Patriots, Colts, Broncos, and Jacksonville have just blown by us.
Yes.
They used to be behind us. Remember that? It didn't seem like that long ago. We put 70 and we were laughing. We were laughing at the Broncos. That was pretty funny.
Well,
is it very funny right now? Is it very funny right now? Because it was funny. The Patriots and their schedule. By the way, their quarterback, good God. He is he's starting to act like a grown-ass man at that quarterback position. So anyway.
The fans are saying, texters are saying fire Greer. That would make the fans a little happier today. Here's the thing with Chris Greer. You cannot allow him to make any more personnel decisions.
Well, there's
and you got
a
trade deadline that's going to be coming up, and
there's
you are going to have to
Woody.
Dump some guys.
There is a next month is a trade deadline, and we're going to have to make some decisions.
And just to answer my question, if I was Mr. Ross today,
I would not let Chris Greer sniff or touch one guy. I wouldn't let him pick the phone up and talk to an agent.
I would demote or fire Chris Greer to make sure that he is not making any more personnel decisions. And I would make a change at the leadership most important position on the field, and that's a quarterback. And I'd let the rookie play and see if he got anything with him. Because I'm done with this guy. I can't watch him play anymore.
I know you are, and I'm telling
you. And I don't
want
to hear his crap comments after the game and during the week. I'm just done with it, man.
All right.
Move on. Either the rookie can play and you kind of lucked into something, or he stinks and you're going to end up with a top pick anyway.
They are not going, this group, this organization, as it stands right now.
Yeah, so find someone who will play the
will
other guy.
Not bench a guy they just gave not too long ago.
So find someone who will.
Franchise quarterback. It's not going to happen, Woody. You and I are here.
I don't think, guys want to play for him anymore after what just happened?
I don't think they care. They just want to win games.
But they're not going to.
So
do you think guys want to play for that?
So, I want to break this down because you think this got real personal for you.
It's not personal at all.
No, it has.
I'm just done with the guy.
So let me just tell
you,
he got nothing to do with that defense being dead last.
You know, Omar me now.
I'm just saying.
Sell me on this.
Trying to sell you, Woody. What don't you see? The defense is terrible.
I know the defense is terrible, but you can't bench the whole defense. You got to shake things up a little bit, man. They're not responding to this guy. And, Joe, the comments after the game are just weak.
Woody, his comments aren't going to get him benched. Why do you think? You are so soft. Like, somebody says something about your kid, and like, no, I'm serious. And I don't take it the wrong way. I am throwing it on you. I am throwing it on you because you're carrying on. He scored 27 points. Tua scored 27 points yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to bench a guy. You make it sound like he was Justin Fields yesterday. You're not going to get benched because
I'm looking more big picture, Joe. I'm not just looking at yesterday's game.
And we owe him so okay.
And they're going to keep playing his comments on repeat all day long of him trashing his teammates.
So what?
Okay.
So what? Maybe he'll shake something up. Maybe he's onto something. Maybe it's brilliant. Maybe everybody goes, man. Tua's talking about me, man.
This is the week with all those comments. Every single week, we got to watch more film.
Jerky, because you don't want to listen, and you're like butthurt about his comments yesterday, which they're stupid every time he opens his mouth. No question about it.
I just don't know where you are on this.
We owe him so much money. Oh, I don't want him after this contract.
We owe him money. So what are you going to do?
He's
going to ride it out?
Well, he's not that bad that you bench him. I know you don't want to hear that. He's just not. I'm not his biggest fan, as you know. I've told you.
And I'm still with you. He still gives you the best chance to win games. But, I mean, again, what are we doing?
As long as you have this group in place, they are going to try to win every game. And they might even pick the phone up and ask the owner, hey, can we? And they're going to go, no, don't touch anything. I don't know that. I'm just guessing. Anyway, we got to go to break. But you can't, like, all of a sudden bench a guy. You want to talk about bench him because of his play? Completely right. That's how guys get benched.
I don't know. I just see what they did in New York. The Giants, they bench their guy.
We're not doing candy-ass sports talk where you're going to bench him because of comments
he said. Other teams do this stuff. The Giants just did it.
For what?
For their quarterback that they drafted.
Because Russell Wilson said what? Russell Wilson's terrible.
Okay.
Russell Wilson, terrible. Go look at his numbers.
I know they're terrible.
Okay. Bad example.
Okay.
All right. Hey, we got to go to break here.
You and
we got
Omar
more
can
time.
Bond over to it. No,
don't throw me in with Omar. Don't throw me with Omar. He says dumbass stuff. Not Omar. He does too, but the Tua stuff. Like, I'm tired of our writers defending every time he says something.
You spent the last 10 minutes
feel like
defending
the PR
it.
PR thing. Anyway. What?
You spent the last 10 minutes defending him, screaming at me.
I'm not benching him. You want to bench him because you sound like a bitch. You're talking about bending. You want to bench him because he said something stupid yesterday.
That's not the
reason. That's
the
reason.
That
that's
the
reason.
I told you weeks ago I wanted to bench the guy.
And I told you weeks ago they're not benching him.
Yeah, you also told me they were going to beat Carolina, and you told me
Don't throw the other topic in there.
They did cover yesterday, though. So you won there.
And by the way, this is not just a Tua thing. It's not just a Tua thing. We got a defensive problem.
Okay, Omar.
Chargers had 400 yards. What? You don't want to hear it, dumbass? You listen to what you want to listen to, Woody. No wonder your wife wants to punch you in the face half the time. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Let's get to our headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Volkswagen or DoralVolkswagen.com. Dolphins lose. Jim Harbaugh was peacocking yesterday. Guy was so happy with his giant giant stupid quarterback with his inability to be brought down.
Don't rip him. You could have had him.
They could have had him. And then, you know, he was at Michigan, so it was a little bit of a weird conflict.
I'm talking about the big quarterback that you were talking about.
Oh, who's ripping him? I said he's because he's stupidly big and can't be brought down by anybody? How's that ripping him?
You call him stupid, but yeah.
I mean, he doesn't look like the brightest bulb in the show. Neither does our quarterback, by the way. Guy sits here. He's like he thinks the podium's become his therapy couch.
You do have to admit that, Leroy. Tobin's right with that.
What?
Tobin said two things that I. One, the peacocking and the fat cat with some of these players, and second, he said it's been a strife in the relationship between Tua and Mike McDaniel from the beginning of the season.
I don't necessarily think that.
I think he's right.
I think that when you're losing, we read far too much into the comments. Now, I will say this. There's been a couple of things that if you can't clarify them, you just don't say.
Mm-hmm.
Like the meetings, everybody just assumed it was like a players only meeting or whatever. And those meetings happen all the time. And you don't talk about any of that stuff unless you're 1-5. And I would expect, here's what I would expect. I would expect the quarterback who is the leader of your team to not put anything out there that could be deemed the way it is because you're losing, right? And because guess what? If they're 5-1, the same things could be happening. We ain't talking about culture and
right.
stuff.
100%.
And that's the part that I'm discouraged about, because if there's anybody who should keep it moving and stay positive and keep working and toe the line or anything, it needs to be the quarterback, because that's who we're listening to the most. So if you're putting stuff out there that requires either one, an explanation, or two, is not very clear on what you're saying, right? So for example, as much as I know that, and I believe when Tua talks about leaders, he's talking about himself. Then he makes the other comment about the meetings. It gets confusing.
And that's the thing with him, and that's why I don't subscribe to, oh, you guys didn't hear earlier in the press conference when he took accountability. It's like, well, dude, I'm sorry, but people got their lives to live. Like, if you don't think that in the world we live in, where we're in a chopped up, clipped up, Instagrammed up society, if you're not aware that the shortest amount of words can carry the biggest amount of weight in this day and age, as an athlete in this generation, well, that's ignorant on you, because nobody talks more than you do. And this has been a thing that has happened all year long. There's been an extra thing. And you're just like, why did he have to bring that up? And I get it. Tua spent the entirety of his first two careers taking a lot of arrows, taking a lot of the hits. And I do think that there's a little bit of defiance that he's like, I'm not taking this anymore. That's fine. But there are also, you gotta have a better handle on, is this going to be a thing or is this not going to be a thing? And when we hear even from him where he goes, well, I don't really hear anything because I just go home. It's like, well, guess what, dude? Your teammates do. And the rest of the NFL universe does. You're getting ripped by Hall of Famers, all pros, analysts. It becomes a thing for your franchise here. And if you don't know that the gravity of your words are going to carry a little bit of extra weight because of who you are for the franchise, well, that's just pure ignorance. I don't know what to tell you. That's a dumb position to be in. So that's what I find bothersome. Forget about the fact that the Dolphins already seem to have just an unbelievably unprofessional organization as it is. Like, the fact that we're talking about this stuff last year was already a thing, and now we're still talking about it. You guys don't have the respect at 1-5. You guys don't have the respect among yourselves to put in that extra work. I mean, geez, Louise, that's just it's such a bad look to begin with.
Here's what I would say. Here's what I would say. That those comments are 1-5 comments, not 5-1 comments. And the reason why I say that is the same things could be going on, you know, like if you meet every Thursday at 5 o'clock after practice to go over some stuff and you're 5-1 and the same exact things are happening. It is not anything to do with culture. And that's the problem.
But can I give you an example? Can I give you an example on something? Bam Adebayo, okay? Bam Adebayo went to practice on Friday, flew across the country to go watch his lady win a championship. He's got enough cachet and status. He probably could have just said, I'll be back when I'm back. But guess whose ass was at practice the next morning and doing media? Bam. Because he's a professional. Like that, it doesn't matter what, and by the way, his team's not good now. He's been that way when they were good. He's been that way when they're bad. That's just how he is. That's how he carries himself.
Basketball is a little bit different, but it also has to do with who Bam is. So let's, and the way.
But is he not the highest paid player on the team though, Leroy?
But it's different situations. Their careers have taken a different
path. It's just professionalism, though, Leroy. Oh, that's what it is.
Okay.
Like, what does that have to do with status or anything?
No, it doesn't. But different people who come through the system or whatever system they come through in different situations, it almost seemed like the day that Bam got to Miami, he was groomed for this spot. We heard from Zoe, we heard from everybody in that organization that this was going to be his team and he was being groomed for it with the people around him, okay? So he handles himself accordingly. That's not necessarily the case in football. I won't just say on this team. It's a little bit different. And so from that standpoint, he can do things differently. He can. But a lot of this stuff you're hearing from everybody, including us, including all the talking heads, is 1-5. And that's how comments are around 1-5.
Yeah, but that's
you can say it's professionalism or not. It's 1-5.
I understand that, but that's the thing is like when you're 1-5, everybody else in the locker room knows we're good. Captain's got us. No comment. Quick on it. He wants to keep going. And whether that's I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's just because we know Tua's very honest, but this didn't feel like honesty. This kind of felt like, let me also tell you what's going on here to kind of get the stink off of me, you know, turning the ball over left and right.
I mean, so and here's the other thing we do. All right. We just look at the mistakes and not put them into context.
Has he had a good year? I'm not talking. I know. Yes, one interception didn't matter because he ended the game, and the other one was in Waddle's hands. By the way, the other one was probably at the most critical point of the game, where he swung the momentum of the game to the Chargers. So
he nearly threw a pick three.
And he almost got picked off again. Do we get to talk about that?
Yeah.
Okay. I know. But the pick that he had, very critical. So let's talk about meetings. What's up, Mos Grilla?
Here we go again. Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hello.
Good morning.
I've been a Dolphins fan for a long time. At the Orange Bowl, they put Joe Robbie in my city, Kansas City, and the Marlins and the Panthers came. Everybody that came behind the Dolphins and don't want a chip. You know, it started to get real frustrating, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to blame the players no more. I'm through with that, you know. Two of them got about 10 interceptions already, but I don't know. Leadership, the owner, you know, Stephen Ross, it just, you did good with everything around the stadium. Yes, we love everything around the stadium. But it's time for you to sell the Dolphins. Sell. Call the main man.
You want him to call the main man?
Anthony Caliendo?
Yeah, the main man. Yeah,
to flip
commercial.
To flip the business, or do you want the main man to buy the Dolphins?
I mean, he can flip the business.
Hey.
He won't do so, but.
If Stephen Ross wanted to sell the team, you ain't got to worry about getting help.
Yes. But I know one thing I don't want to say. I know Leo don't want to hear this, but it's time to tank for Mendoza. Tank for Mendoza. Get two out of there, and let's tank for Mendoza, man. Indiana quarterback. He's a hometown guy from Columbia High School, wherever he's from. But he's doing great. Let's just move on, man. Get everybody out of there and just move on, man. Let's just start all over and just break it on down and start all over, man. I'm through with it.
All right. See you, Mos Grilla.
I would say.
It was a good job by Indiana this week, though, in the Kalel Ware Bowl.
Goodness. I would say that changing ownership is not going to matter unless Stephen Ross comes out and says, as long as I'm the owner, Chris Greer is going to be here.
Oof.
See what I'm saying? Then you can have, but at some point, even an owner who has been an excellent businessman throughout his career, even he walks into a room and looks at what's going on and has to say, what the hell are we doing?
I definitely think that Stephen, right? I definitely think that last year, because he didn't open up the purse strings as much this year, like didn't restructure as many contracts, I definitely think that he put them in a, hey, I paid you guys already. Like, go figure it out this year. I think they're right. Even he had to come into this year with some level of frustration.
And if you think about that, is getting to that point. Now, I would say this about Chris Greer. If he had just kept everybody he drafted, this team would be better.
He's always reacting, though. He doesn't have any foresight.
Right, but that's my point. That's my point, that he is the only GM in a long time that I have seen to actually draft decent players and then can't afford them. So when we go to your draft record and see who's on the team, nobody's on the damn team, right? You've given away so many first rounders for guys who are either not playing or not playing as well as the first round guy you could have drafted.
Right.
And here's the kicker. In all championship teams or contenders, you have probably four or five guys who are young that are playing for cheap. You can't afford to pay every single position. You got to be able to draft and have cheap labor. And the fact of the matter is, he tried to go out and buy all of the labor to the point where he couldn't afford his cheap labor. So it's been building. And I think that if Stephen Ross were to look back and see the path that they've taken, and now you're forced to play guys who may not be ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
That is a bad job. Oh, however you want to put it, it's a bad job because this could have been done 2 years ago.
That's a
when you say, no, we're going to build through the draft. No, we got to go a different route. But you waited until it was absolutely a dumpster fire to come to the conclusion we can't keep going and giving up draft picks for free agents. It's too late.
That Jonah's taking a beating.
Oh, dude, look, there is. You know what the worst feeling for a quarterback is? When you look left and see four eyes staring at you, the defender and the guy who's supposed to block him. Right? Like, there's an old crap moment right there. And I'm telling you that it is, I mean, to the point where we don't even talk about Patrick Paul.
Yeah.
Because it, holy smokes.
That sack was bad.
Yeah, it was.
It looked like they were maybe, was it a Simone greeting? And then he forgot that there was a snap. And then he was like, oh, because he got beat. Like, by the time he turned around, Tua was already on the ground.
Pretty wild, man. Let's go to Sean. Hello, Sean.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Hey, I'm going to say something real quick here. You know, Tua, not only can he not read coverages, he can't read a room, and he's a snitch, okay? this reminds me of when Kobe Bryant outed Shaquille O'Neal. Maybe I should just pay it off the girls. But anyway, you know, did he think he's going to get any respect from any team or teammate that comes to join that team? I wouldn't want to play for him, okay? I thought it was about McDaniel, but I'm beginning to see that I'm really thinking it's Tua, and we're handicapped by his ability.
All right, appreciate you, Sean. I think that reading the room would help. I did see some of that. Like, there's a lot of, like, Dez Bryant's come out, LeSean McCoy's come out and said they're not going to respect you for this. Kurt Warner was like, you're telling on yourself in this case. You should be, you know, no deflecting of blame. Yeah, he didn't. He's not getting a lot of grace with these comments. Right. But look, I agree with you, Leroy. The loss and the losses piling up make this all worse. That's why you need him in that position to not give any other meat to the piranhas, you know, dude?
Unless
we're walking, of course, into a Las Vegas aquarium. Then I want the piranhas.
Here's what I would say. There is no excuse for some of the explanations and how he's going about it, because the fact of the matter is 1-5 sucks, and you're tired of looking for answers when we already know what the damn answers are, right? There's nothing worse than being, you got to talk about other stuff because you don't want to put the real reasons out there that everybody is fully aware of and knows. And so you sometimes get yourself in a little trouble because you're trying to be so honest. All that being said, I would say the reason why they're 1-5 is not because of Tua. He plays his part, right? So I'm not excluding him from it. But there are so many other things going on, including having the single-handed worst defense I've seen in a number of years.
It's really bad.
And teams running for 200 against you every week. Now, if I just use those stats and put them on any other team, no other team's winning games.
Mm.
And so while we're sitting here commenting on what Tua said and he's not being professional and all that can be fine, that's not the reasons why they ain't winning on Sunday.
I mean, it's not, but it's also not like that's why I say, like, it reflects on the whole team being bad. Like, I don't think this is a team that deserves a blame pie chart, because I think that there have been enough scenarios for all of them. Yes, I would say if you wanted to give 75%, give 75 to the defense, whatever. But in the times that they have shown up, the offense hasn't either. In the times the special teams has had a good play, then the special teams botches something else. The coaching decisions have been bad. Like, everybody's – it's not – this isn't something where you could really go – except for Devon Achane. Devon Achane's the only guy I'm giving a pass to the rest of the year. Like, he's the only guy who I'm like, very rarely this guy is doing anything other than just carrying everybody's ass all over the place. But Waddle's had drops. That was a terrible job by Waddle to start the game. Right in your damn hands? You a wide receiver one or what? Like, what's the deal, dude?
The problem is when you're a bad team, all of the mistakes always seem to be amplified.
Yeah.
From little to big to whatever. And that's also part of the problem, right? It's frustrating. It's frustrating to me to know that, like, if I get 10 other guys in that position that JP was in.
Oh, my God.
7 of them make the sack? Because they go at it with a different physicality than he went at it. Like, he went in there trying to hook. Get him on the ground.
Seriously.
Dude. Worry about everything else. Right? The fact that he could have three or four grown-ass men hanging from him and still throw a ball away to stop the clock and throw it in the direction of, like, come on, man. Like, that, you want to talk about not professional? What y'all trying to do, lay him on the ground? Give him a pillow and a binky?
Trying to swaddle him?
Get his ass on the ground.
Take a break. Back after this.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.